The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome. It's nice to see you all. Here we are. It's quite something, right, that we are coming together all these times. I think it's just an amazing, beautiful thing. So I'd like to read a poem. I think I've shared this poem in this setting before, and maybe we can look at it through the lens of the inner critic. Working with the inner critic is this theme I've been doing for quite a few months now. And I had been looking at this poem not through that kind of framework, but I think it fits nicely here. And the poem is called Healing Time. And the poet is Pesha Gertler. And the poem goes like this. Finally, on my way to yes, I bump into all the places where I said no. To my life, all the untended wounds, the red and purple scars, those hieroglyphs of pain, carved into my skin, my bones, those coded messages that send me down the wrong street again and again, where I find them, the old wounds, the old misdirections, and I lift them one by one close to my heart, and I say, holy, holy. Maybe I'll read this. It's a little less drama, a little more simple this time. Finally, on my way to yes, I bump into all the places where I said no to my life. All the untended wounds, the red and purple scars, those hieroglyphs of pain carved into my skin, my bones, those coded messages that send me down the wrong street again and again. Where I find them, the old wounds, the old misdirections, and I lift them one by one close to my heart, and I say, holy, holy. There's something really beautiful about this poem, that she's noticing that I like the beginning. Finally, on my way to yes, I bump into all the places where I said no. I think this certainly has been my experience, is that kind of opening to one's life, my practice, my inner life, my, you know, outer life, start to see like, oh yeah, here's the places where I was contracted and said no in some kind of way. And often we're saying no because there's this inner critic that is saying, well, you shouldn't do that. You can't do that. What if you fail? What if it's not okay to be vulnerable? That's risky. Like, there's all these things here, right, that are kind of pointing us to say no. To be sure, sometimes saying no is the exact right thing, but that's not what this poem is about. This poem is saying, on my way to yes, I bump into all the places where I said no. No to ourselves. Maybe getting disconnected from ourselves and no longer present for not only ourselves, but for those around us. And then that poet, she continues and she's talking about these scars. We all have scars, right? This is what it means to be human, is to have painful events happen and to have scars. Some of those scars are in the forms of learnings, but some of them are also in the form of limitations we've set on ourselves, for our life, for our inner life. But I love this, as she says, the poet, they send me down the wrong street again and again. And then she says, the old wounds and the misdirections going down the wrong street, lift them one by one close to my heart. And I say, holy, holy. So this way of saying, okay, this is what my life is, how it's getting expressed. This is how my life has unfolded. And I'm not going to disown any part of myself. Every part of my life experience, every part is here to be honored, to be respected, to be cared for. It doesn't mean that we think that everything we've done is the most wisest thing that we've done. It doesn't mean that we don't have regrets, but it does mean that we're stopping to trying to excise parts of ourselves, that we're trying to get rid of parts of ourselves. This is the inner critic that thinks that we have to somehow get rid of. But this practice is all about like integrating, bringing these things in, those especially those parts of ourselves that we think are awful and terrible and we wish weren't there. Because there's somehow, there's a way in which our thinking that it's terrible that keeps it separate, and there's some energy around it while we're trying to hide it or squash it or something. It's only by like allowing these parts of ourselves to be seen and heard and integrated as best we can that they soften and the power behind them diminish. And then our life can unfold differently. So much about this practice is, you know, creating the capacity to be able to do that. Especially when we have these lifelong habits of trying to wish parts of ourselves away. This poet, I lift them one by one close to my heart and I say, holy, holy, beautiful. So before we go into the guided meditation, I just got off the phone with Nikki and we were just kind of like brainstorming a little bit about what we were thinking about happy hour. We're just in the brainstorming stage and we were thinking, well, you know, is it time? Should some changes be made? And I made a little poll, but somehow I must not have saved it because now I'm can't offer it to you guys. But we'd like to just like hear from you guys. So maybe we'll do this informally. So many of you have your camera off, so only a subset of you will be able to participate. But maybe you could like raise your hand or maybe you could raise your hand, like your Zoom hand or something. So here's a question. Would you still be able to attend if happy hour were 1 hour earlier? If you were at 5 p.m. here in California or 8 p.m. on the East Coast, would you still be able to? Is this something that would still work? Like I said, we haven't made any decisions, but we thought, oh, you know, let's invite you guys into the conversation in this way and see, you know, how this would work for you guys.
So you want a yes vote right now so that we're not confused?
Yes. So if you could do it, you know, put your hand up. That would be great. And I'll count them this way. Or put your thumbs up. Well, either. Okay.
Here's a yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'll add that to the list. And there's some people are saying no. Okay, right. You know, we know this, that it won't work for everybody. We just wanted to get a sense of like, is this a, sense of reactions. Okay. Okay.
You and want the no vote?
Nope. I'm just going to do the math here. So if those of you who aren't saying yes, that it would be a no. So if I were able to launch the survey, it would have been yes, no, I'm not sure. But I'll just count the yeses here. And Nikki, tomorrow, will do it, the survey again. And probably I'll do it on Thursday again, too. But this just gives me a sense.
Eight.
And then, so maybe you could put your hands down now, because here's a second question. What about this idea of if happy hour were early, I'm sorry, shorter, only 45 minutes? Does that make it, would that make it a little bit easier, like on those days when you're on the fence, like, oh, am I going to go? Would that be nice to have 45 minutes? Or maybe like it really doesn't matter if it's 45 minutes or an hour. So would, the question is, put your hand up if you would still be able to go if it were 45 minutes rather than 60 minutes, would there be a way?
Very good.
Some people be like, yes. And some people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. I always leave after 45 minutes anyway. So, right, that's what many some people do. Yep. And so, Kim, I see that you wouldn't want to give up the 30 minutes of meditation. Yep. Yep. And some people are saying can do it, but I would hate to cut it. Yeah. Yep. Just want to get a flavor here. I'm sorry that I must not have saved this survey, or somehow Zoom isn't cooperating with me. Okay, great. Thank you. I'm getting a sense of that. And as I said, no decisions have been made. We're just brainstorming. And somebody said, I'd like it 15 minutes longer. Thank you for the vote of confidence. That's very nice. Yeah, right. There's some ways in which if it were longer, we could explore more things, and it would be that way. Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down. Or not, you can leave them up if you'd like. But so now I'm going to transition back to happy hour, this meditation that we're going to be doing. And this idea of this poem, finally on my way to yes, I bump into all the places where I said no. And I would say that part of this practice is helping to heal those places where we said no, or invite them in, or maybe some of the scars allow us to learn from whatever it is they have to teach us, something like that. So let's do some meditation. In our meditation posture, just allowing ourselves to relax, settle in, arrive. Dropping down into the body. What is this body like at this moment? Resting the attention on the sensations of breathing, feeling the body move as it breathes. And if the mind wanders, we don't have to make it a problem. Just very simply, gently begin again. tuning into being sensitive to the sensations of breathing. And then we'll start our loving kindness practice. We'll start where it's easy. Somebody that has supported you in your life, that you feel this warmth, appreciation, gratitude. Family members that you have an uncomplicated relationship with. Makes the heart smile. Some people use their furry family members. Some people use like imaginary kittens, puppies, babies. The point here is to choose a lovable being that allows the heart to open or soften as best it can at this time. So connecting with this lovable being, bringing an image to mind or otherwise somehow connecting. And then to support this cultivation of loving kindness, you can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. Important to always include ourselves, even though we might have hesitation or not want to, or have some reason that we would not always do this. I'd like to encourage us to do loving kindness for ourselves. Bring in a picture or an image of yourself or the felt sense at this moment, whichever makes you feel the most comfortable. Some people use an image of themselves as a child. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. This poem, finally on my way to yes, I bump into all the places where I said no to my life. All the untended wounds, the red and purple scars, those hieroglyphs of pain carved into my skin, my bones, those coded messages that sent me down the wrong street again and again. Where I find them, the old wounds, the old misdirections. And I lift them one by one close to my heart. And I say, holy, holy. And then to do some practice more specifically for the inner critic. Bring to mind a difficulty. This often helps create the conditions in which an inner critic arises. On a scale of 1 to 10, the difficulty is a 2 or a 3. I'll offer some phrases. No need to use all of them. Maybe only one resonates. That's perfectly fine. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. Sometimes it's helpful to speak directly to this so-called inner critic. I know you're trying to help, but that's not helpful. I know you're trying to help, but that's not helpful. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. So this idea of on my way to yes, I bump into all the places where I said no. There's so many different ways we can interpret that, but is there a way in which it makes sense for you, for your life? So I'd like to provide an opportunity for you guys to talk about this in some smaller groups. Maybe it just seems like some odd, cute thing, or maybe it's very meaningful for you. We don't all have to think the same. I'd just like to provide an opportunity to maybe discuss this idea, this poem by Pesha Gertler. So there'll be three or four of you in the room. And I'd like to do this in the soup making method, that everybody just says one thing. They add like one ingredient to the soup, and then it goes to the next person, and they add one ingredient to the soup, and then it goes to the third person, they add another ingredient. So in this way, everybody's contributing. And so it's a great way to kind of like level the playing field between the introverts and the extroverts, and also make it so that somebody doesn't feel like they have to educate others or inform others or just say everything they know about the topic. And then there's only 30 seconds left for the other people. Because sometimes that happens. We don't intend to, but we end up speaking a lot. Or maybe we feel like, oh, I want to give advice to other people. But often people don't really want advice. So I think it's really helpful to do this alternative way. And not only that, it's maybe having heard some things from other people, you're influenced by them. And maybe you find yourself saying something when it comes back around to you that maybe you wouldn't have said just a few minutes earlier. And that's a beautiful thing, to like have some new ideas, to add some richness to our lives, to our thoughts, instead of just, oh yeah, here's what it is. But, you know, allowing ourselves to be touched by what we hear. So we'll be in the room for maybe 12 minutes. And if it's helpful, you can go in the order of the number of characters in your screen name. The shorter the screen name, the earlier you would go in the circle. All right, here we go. Welcome back. Welcome back. Does anybody have a question or something they'd like to say, a comment? This idea of on my way to yes, I bump into all the places where I said no. I think this is what it means to be a poet, is to like come up with these little phrases that are really evocative and point to something. And I think Pesha Gertler, she was a poet laureate for something. I'm not sure if it was for the United States, if it was for a particular state or something, but recognized poet. Yes, Katrin.
Thank you for this. There's so, like you were just saying, so evocative. There's so many things, but I feel, hearing it this time, I really felt it in my body. I felt the truth of it, like not needing to make an interpretation, but just being like, oh yes, of course the no is holy. Like I just feel that. And it also makes me think of my toddler nephew who, you know, is very into saying no. And in some way, when I watch him, I'm like, oh, the no comes before the yes, because without the ability to say no, it's one, it's just like total sameness. And then there's the separation, and then there's the union, or the, you know, the yes with all of it. And so, yeah, it just feels good. And
beautiful.
Those are the things that I can say.